coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to this series of Bible studies on the letter of James. In the last study on James, chapter 3, we have reflected on the improper and the proper use of the tongue and the gift of speech. The tongue can be an instrument of great devastation like a blaze, but it also can be an instrument to building up and to bringing about immense blessings to people's lives. In that study, we have also been encouraged to seek the wisdom that comes down from above, the wisdom of God that is pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Today's study concentrates on further aspects of Christian life. We fail in many ways to follow God's commandments, and we are unfaithful to Him. But God calls us to repentance, to humble ourselves and to turn to Jesus, in whom there is forgiveness of sins. In James chapter 4, verses 1 to 4, we read as follows. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people. Christian life is neither straightforward nor free from faults. On the contrary, Christian life is stained with transgressions and needs to be cleansed again and again by the sacrificial blood Jesus Christ shed on the cross. Christians have been given a new birth through holy baptism, have been renewed, and a new nature dwells in them that lives according to God's will. However, Christians continue to live in a corrupted nature. The old Adam, the flesh, is still there, alive and strong. Within us, two forces fight each other, the new man and the old man. The Apostle Paul describes the internal fight that goes on between the new man and the old man in the following statements. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. These words are from Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 19. James takes us to the presence of God and challenges us to examine our inner being, our heart and mind, in the light of the Lord's holy commandments. In doing so, we detect a number of faults. Quarrels and fights are two of them. Unfortunately, quarrels and fights take place between Christians, between people of the church. The consequences can be disastrous, creating enmity within the family of faith, breaking apart the unity, causing division and great losses. What is the source of quarrels and fights? James answers, your passions. These passions are internal. They are based in the heart. Jesus declares, from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. The passionate desires for worldly pleasures are the internal source of the external conflict in the church. Among these desires are jealousy and ambition. Our sinful nature fights against the new nature which dwells in believers. Desires, if left uncontrolled, lead to sinful attitudes that scriptures equate with murder. Murder may not have literally taken place among the Christians James addressed, but the sin of envy, left unchecked, could lead to such monstrous behavior. By the way, jealousy led to violence and murder when Cain took the life of his brother Abel. Instead of envying and coveting, we are advised to ask God in prayer what He has promised to give. You do not have because you do not ask, says James. We depend on God. Prayer makes us realize our dependence on God. James adds, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions, you adulterous people. When James speaks about asking wrongly, he does not mean the use of wrong words, but he refers to wrong motives someone may have when asking God in prayer. Wrong motives are selfish desires, self-gratification, seeking worldly treasures. James describes people who are quarreling, fighting, and pursuing their passions as adulterous people. In the Old Testament, there are a number of occasions when Israel is described as an adulterous nation because they were unfaithful to the covenant God made with them. Since James was writing to Christians of Jewish origin, the expression adulterous people must have been familiar to them. James has in mind spiritual unfaithfulness to God. God made Christians, the church, His bride through faith in Jesus. Rejecting Him and living according to the sinful passions means spiritual adultery. James continues to develop this topic in chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, He yearns jealously over the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us, but He gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. A life driven by the desire to become wealthy and devoted to selfish ambition leaves no room for God. This is a worldly way of living. Those with a deep and intimate longing for the things of the world give evidence that they are not in connection with Christ. Friendship with the world is enmity with God, says James. According to Jesus, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. James points to the Old Testament scriptures, saying, He yearns jealously over the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us. This quote as such cannot be found in the Old Testament. The passage can also be translated as, Do you suppose that the Scripture speaks uselessly? Does the Spirit that God causes to dwell in us crave jealously? This is a statement difficult to understand, we have to admit. However, what can be said is this. The expression Spirit does not refer to the Holy Spirit, but to the human spirit. Because of the fall in sin, the spirit of man craves jealously, it envies intensely. The only ray of hope in human's spiritual darkness is God's abundant grace. God is the God of grace. He extends His undeserved favor toward sinners. His grace is greater than the power of sin, the flesh, the world, and Satan. The person who humbly repents of his sins and trusts in Jesus Christ is forgiven by God's grace. Back to the text of the letter of James, we read in chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. These verses contain 10 commandments, each of which is so stated in the original Greek language that it calls for immediate action in rooting out the sinful attitude of pride. The language of these verses strongly echoes Old Testament calls to repentance. The first command is, submit yourselves to God. This means to place oneself under God's authority, which is shown most powerfully when he forgives. The second command is, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. To resist means literally take your stand against. The devil is God's arch enemy, and ours too. His purpose is to lead believers astray and to destroy their faith in Jesus. The Apostle Peter says concerning the devil, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in the faith. The third command is, draw near to God, that is, pursue an intimate relationship with God through prayer of repentance and meditation on his word. God draws near to us in his word, in which he offers forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus Christ. We cannot cleanse our hands from guilty actions, neither can we purify our hearts from sinful passions or remove unfaithfulness towards God. Cleansing, purifying, removing unfaithfulness can only be done by Jesus Christ. John the Baptist points us to Christ, saying, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Furthermore, James commands, be wretched, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. These are expressions of repentance. This is the state of those truly broken over their sins. Mourning is the inner response to heartbrokenness. Weeping is the outward manifestation of the inner sorrow over sin. God will not turn away a heart broken and contrite over sin. The last command given by James is, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Humbling oneself is the result of being laid low before God because of sin. Humbleness and repentance go hand in hand. God will exalt the humble. After repentance come God's forgiveness, new life, and ultimately the crown of life. In the sequence of his letter, James writes in chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? James returns to the use of the tongue. This time he reproves speaking evil against one another. By speaking evil is meant slandering or defaming. Scripture does not forbid confronting people in sin. Rather, Scripture condemns careless, derogatory, critical, slanderous accusations against others. The law forbids slander. A slanderer rejects the royal law, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. A slanderer tries to judge God's law. Those who speak evil of other believers set themselves up as judges and condemn them. They thereby defame and disregard God's law, which expressly forbids such slanderous condemnation. Judging God's law is not our business. All of God's laws are to be obeyed. The person who rejects them judges the law and God himself. God, who gave the law, alone has the authority to save those who repent and to destroy those who refuse to repent. James concludes chapter 4 of his letter, writing in verses 13 to 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. James does not condemn wise business planning, rather planning that leaves out God. James addresses people who think their lives are in their own hands, to be used as they desire. They think they know all about their future, such as when, where, how long, and what will happen. They boast in their arrogance, as if they were God. Such boasting is evil because it is not from God. On the other hand, wise planning is an essential part of Christian stewardship. But we shall never work on the assumption that we are completely in control. We do not know what tomorrow will bring. We cannot control time or history. God does. We should not act as if our lives are most important. James reminds us that we are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Certainly, life is fragile, vulnerable, temporary. It is like a mist, or a puff of smoke, or one's breath, that appear for a moment in cold air. Life is of transitory nature. When Christians plan, they do so taking into account God's will. If the Lord wills, is the refrain to be constantly considered. That means we submit our plans to God with an attitude of humility. We recognize that God gives us time and resources to be used for His purposes. If the Lord wills, is a confession of faith and shows confidence in the Lord's care for us. The last words of chapter 4 of the letter of James are these. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. There are sins of omission and sins of commission. Sins of omission are sins we commit by not doing something we should do. For example, failing to help another person when we have both the capacity and the means for it. Sins of commission are sins that we commit by doing something we should not do. For instance, slandering or gossiping. James speaks here of sins of omission, knowing we should do but we fail to do. In summary, we face similar difficulties in our Christian life as the readers of the letter of James faced. We transgress God's commandments in many ways, in desires, in words, in attitudes, in deeds. In sincere repentance, we draw near to God and ask Him to be gracious to us, to forgive us for the sake of Jesus, and to help us to amend our lives. We can hold fast to the truth expressed by the Apostle John. if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.